It's a Thursday, and that means that it's time for another legislative hotline. We do these on Thursdays and Fridays right on through the sessions this year, and it's our turn to speak with 12th District State Senator Keith Gaynor. He joins us live from Olympia this morning and going to talk to us about a number of things today. Keith, I appreciate the time as always. Thanks.
Yeah, well, thanks for having me.
So you and I were just engaged in a bit of a conversation off air about some of the presidential decrees that were made when Mr. Trump took office last week, and I know you were telling me that phones have been lighting up a little bit over in Olympia, too, wondering about what Olympia's role is, what lawmakers' role is with some of these immigration enforcement issues and some of the other things we've heard about as well. So I guess what are you hearing over there about some of the things the Trump administration has already done?
Well, from constituents, I mean, they're, you know, hoping that we're supposed to do something about what's happening. And we really don't know what is happening because haven't had any real indication of activities of any kind. So, and actually from a state legislator standpoint, it isn't an issue that we would engage in. I mean, it is a federal issue. So if you have concerns, I encourage you to contact your senators and Representative Schreier to see if in fact something is taking place. But how it does impact the state when we're talking about the changing things, particularly from a financial standpoint, if certain money would not be coming to the state for certain programs, well, that obviously would have an impact. But we haven't actually had any insight as to what that might be or what it might mean at this point. So I think we're all just kind of waiting and seeing. We certainly have our hands full just dealing with the state's issues, and so that's where, you know, our focus is.
Keith, I guess kind of an interesting question, but, you know, one of the things I think about is, you know, does all of this, because it seems like everybody we talk to is, you know, we hear words like clarification. We're waiting to find clarification. You know, we don't have anything to do with it. We never have. I mean, you're sort of telling us the same thing. So does this mean everybody really needs to kind of go back to civics class and get educated about, you know, how government works? Or has it really become that convoluted over time that even people that understand those models don't really understand how they're working currently?
Well, I think that's probably the case, is we don't understand how things are working. And part of the problem is that even like with the legislature, we've given up some of the authority that legislatures in the past have had. And so, you know, if you defer or you delegate that authority to another agency or some other office, then when the time does come to be engaged, we really haven't had a precedent anymore. I mean, we don't know, well, how does this really work? Because the way the government was set up is supposed to have checks and balances, and there were some pretty clearly defined responsibilities that I don't really believe that we're honoring that intent. And when you do that, then things somewhat get blurred as to who has authority. And I guess specifically, you know, from the executive level, I think we've, you know, allowed executives, whether it be governors or the president, to make some sort of dictates that is really part of the whole process where the legislative branch should be involved, the executive branch, and then, you know, the judicial. But, you know, people tend to get excited, you know, based on personalities, and it really is not the way it was designed to be.
Well, it seems to me, and I feel like other keen observers have really kind of spied out that the judicial branch is the one that it really kind of comes down to, because what we're seeing is kind of the same pattern, I guess, that we have for a while, which is the president or someone like that will make a piece of legislation or put something into effect, it will immediately get steamrolled by the courts or stopped by the courts. Right. And then all of a sudden, the courts are the ones that eventually make that final decision. So I know we all have looked to the office of the presidency and maybe some of the higher ranking officials that we have in governments as who really are the movers and shakers. But it sounds to me like those men and women wearing the robes kind of have the final say.
Right. And it, you know, the way it was set up so that everyone, you know, each branch had its role. And as I, you know, we talked earlier, I think there's just time where people need to step back. When I say people, those that are involved, make sure that, you know, the direction we're going really is clearly the way it should be taking place as far as who has the authority and who has the checks and the balance, and then move forward in a more unified manner.
All right, 12th District State Senator Keith Gaynor with us today here on the KPQ Morning Update for our legislative hotline. Keith, let's move on and quickly talk about budgets. I know you're still putting those together. It's a lengthy process, obviously, every legislative session for one reason or another. But where are you at in that process right now? Do you have any preliminary numbers, or are you still waiting?
Well, we don't really have a lot of numbers forecasts. I mean, we have the ones that were given to us that we're still working with, but we know that we're going to be short in all of our budgets, and the one that I'm sitting on and working through is the transportation budget, and you know, it does impact projects like the Confluence Parkway. I mean, that money was committed, and yet now it's not really there in the budget, and so we're having to find ways to make, I guess when I say cuts, I mean scale back some of the commitments that have been made. But you know, it's a real challenge. I think you know there are plenty of discussions about the need for additional revenue and what form that would take, whether it be increased fees. We're not really talking about a gas tax, but you know, we've talked for years now about a road usage charge, and I'm not real excited about that prospect, but it is an option that is out there. So we have to find you know ways to scale back the commitments we've made, and in the operating budget. Honestly, we overcommitted from years before when we said that you know this isn't sustainable. Well, that prophecy or forecast of unsustainability is actually coming to play right now. And we have plenty of money, revenue. It's just that we've overcommitted that revenue.
Keith, you mentioned Confluence Parkway. Is there a serious threat at this point, or do you feel like there's a real jeopardy of that project not receiving the funding that it was originally promised, or is it still too early to say?
Well, I think, you know, I think the commitment is there to make it happen, and I feel strongly that if we start a project, we should finish it before we're moving on to others. So I think the City of Wenatchee and the players there are in a good position as far as, you know, moving forward. I mean, they have the phases. It may take a little bit longer to do what they'd like to do, but there is a commitment to see that project to completion.
All right, so we're definitely hoping that it does, those of us that live in the Wenatchee Valley anyway, because we'd love to see that traffic ease at the north end of town. Again, 12th District State Senator Keith Gaynor with us today here on the KPQ Morning Update for our legislative hotline. Keith, there's a number of bills we wanted to talk about here, so let's start going through those. First of all, we've heard about rent control, and this is something I know that we talked about the last time you were on. It's a bit of a double-edged one for you. Explain it, if you would, again to our listeners.
Well, actually, it just puts a cap on what you can raise rent, and then it has a number of other conditions. And actually, what we have begun to see, and we've gotten a lot more agreement on this, that it may be a short-term fix in keeping rents down, but long-term it has a real negative impact on the rental market. So, you know, I'm hopeful that before this is all said and done that we can work out, you know, some options that address the concerns that people have. We are talking about having a bill that deals with predatory rent. You know, no one wants to see, you know, people just arbitrarily just raising rents that price people out of the market. But on the other hand, we still have people who are taking the risk to provide that housing that they need to be respected, too, for the commitments and, you know, what they're doing in providing that housing. So we'll continue to work on that. It hasn't come up for a vote in committee yet. We had the hearing, and we'll continue to be working on that and hopefully have some amendments to the bill itself.
Keith, I know parental rights is also something that is on the docket for this year as far as bills are concerned. So what's going on with that?
Well, we had an initiative, and it seemed like people were pretty clear that, you know, parents should have the right to know what is taking place, you know, with their kids and their mental health and physical health. And so this bill actually, in the way I'm understanding it and reading it, undoes some of the things that were put in place with the initiative. So, you know, it's important for parents to have a clear understanding of what is happening with their kids when they leave their home. And, I feel strongly that, you know, parents should have that right and responsibility to raise their kids and have full knowledge of what's happening in their lives.
All right, very good. We'll keep following that with you as well. Again, 12th District State Senator Keith Gaynor joining us this morning here on the KPQ Morning Update for our legislative hotline. Keith, a couple more pieces of legislation wanted to talk with you about this morning. One has to do with unemployment compensation for workers who are on strike. Tell us about this one.
Well, it's just what it says. I mean, if workers go on strike, they would be paid. And, you know, that's that'll have a lot of, comment on that. And you know, it's important that we respect the rights of the workers and the employers. And in this would really penalize employers. I mean, they're not, you know, if you think about Boeing, for example, when everyone went on strike, if everyone was still getting full pay, that would be really a real hit to whatever business and their ability to actually continue and to be successful.
Yeah, and we're seeing this obviously, with larger companies. Boeing, you obviously mentioned we had a strike there last year that finally got settled. And then we've heard a lot about unionization for Starbucks employees. Amazon has faced issues like this. So it seems that this issue is really more central to larger companies, Keith, than it would be to smaller ones. But is there a trickle down that you feel like would affect maybe some mom and pop businesses, even if this were passed?
Well, every employer that, you know, is part of the state system there is paying into an unemployment, fund. And it definitely would affect your experience rating. It would cost you more to provide that unemployment insurance, which is a hit to whatever business. And obviously, you know, from all that we've heard, small businesses are really struggling. And this would just be another hit to their bottom line and their ability to provide that job, even if a strike is settled. I mean, if the margins continue to get smaller in business, the likelihood of your success is greatly diminished.
All right, very good, Keith. Let's finish up here by talking about something you're very passionate about, which is the Donate Life license plates thing that you're putting through this year.
Well, yeah, this came to me. Maeli brought it to me, and it's really a neat story. I mean, with the transplant, and he's a recipient of a transplant, and I had my brother was also a double recipient of transplants. So this is just a plate to make people aware that we organ donors are really needed, and you do give life when you donate an organ. And there's just a neat opportunity for people to support this. If you are interested in that, you go to Life Center Northwest and just indicate your willingness to either buy a plate or just to support them. I mean, that would be really helpful. But I'm hopeful we can get this through and raise money to help facilitate more transplants.
Keith, these license plates, things that get set up, do they work? I know we've seen a lot of these in the past. We go back to Senator Hawkins with the Apple license plates for the education. We see a lot of these in different states. Certainly here in Washington, we see them different choices as well. Do these raise a lot of money?
Well, it depends on the organization. But yes, it does help. Each of those plates have a designated recipient of the funds that come from the additional money that's paid for that plate. So it does help support, like the Apple Education Foundation. And in this case, it would be supporting Life Center Northwest. And, whether it's University of Washington or WSU or Eastern, I mean, those schools, they all do get some money from the purchase of these plates. So it does help somewhat. I don't know, honestly, down the line, how much it really makes a difference, but it certainly raises the awareness of whatever the cause is.
All right, very good. Keith Gaynor, 12th District State Senator, with us today here on the KPQ Morning Update for our legislative hotline this week. Again, Keith with us every other Thursday as we move through the sessions here on our legislative hotlines for the season. Keith, I appreciate the time as always. Appreciate the work you do in Olympia, and we'll talk again down the road.
All right. Thanks, Chris.